I've been watching you, Jack. What are you looking for in those books?
Of course, that recognizable voice belongs to actor Morgan Freeman. His latest film is the PG-13 science fiction adventure Oblivion, which also stars Tom Cruise. It came in at number one last weekend. Here with a spoiler-free analysis is none other than plugged-in senior associate editor Paul Acey. Hey, Paul.
Yeah, with so many twists and turns, keeping this one spoiler-free is going to be like reviewing The Sixth Sense without mentioning that Bruce Willis is actually... Or talking about The Empire Strikes Back and not saying that Darth Vader is Luke's. Dave, are you gonna do that every time I get close to a spoiler?
I've got a buzzer and I'm not afraid to use it.
Well, I think we've been put on notice. Also in studio is our video game expert Bob Hoos. Welcome back.
Hi, guys.
Bob's gonna take us on a journey through BioShock Infinite, which some critics are calling one of the best games of all time.
That's right. I'm gonna tell you why they're saying that and what parents need to know.
Today's podcast is being brought to you by our friends in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, who invite you to experience creation in all of its beauty. If your family's making travel plans, consider Gatlinburg and the Smoky Mountains. For a free vacation guide, visit gatlinburg.com.
And now, here's a little something we like to call Culture Clips.
As we look at what's making headlines, Paul?
Yeah, some of the biggest headlines, obviously, in the last week and a half have been coming out of Boston.
Right.
That's been a really, really tragic story for a long time now. And we've seen some heroism involved with that. But one of the things that I find really interesting about the story is how, in the aftermath of that horrific tragedy, how many people had taken photos of kind of the surrounding environs at the mm-hmm. time. There were just pictures of the explosion and the aftermath all over the internet. And even on the website Reddit, there were people actually going through pictures trying to figure out who the
bad guys were.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And as it turns out, they were kind of wrong. One of these pictures actually landed on the front page of the New York Post, and the guy was completely innocent. He was kind of framed for a crime that he didn't commit. And so that sort of brings to mind kind of the good news, bad news situation that we're in this modern day culture, where we have everybody is carrying around a camera all the time. There are so many different ways to take pictures of things, take videos with things, and that is a huge boon to law enforcement at a time like this. And yet, there's such an invasion of privacy that comes along with that. And as technology becomes bigger and even a more integral part of our life, you kind of wonder, you know, what is the good going to outweigh the bad?
Hmm.
You know?
You think of a TV show like Person of Interest, and it makes you wonder how long it's going to be before something like that's actually possible.
Yeah.
And if nothing else, it gives the writers of that show a chance to explore the social anxieties that we're feeling right now.
Yeah,
it'll be interesting to see what they do.
There are a lot of social anxieties. And again, it's sort of one of those good news, bad news situations.
All right.
Well, my little news report has nothing to do with anxiety. It has to do, but it does have to do with pop culture or culture, a side of culture. You know, we're so many people out there are probably still, dressed in their dark glasses, their dark, thick-rimmed glasses and their ironic T-shirts.
Yeah, and, I noticed you're wearing those right
being,
now.
Being a hipster. Mm-hmm. Well, the new pop culture trend is something called redneck couture. I don't know if you've heard of that or not, but it's sort of been spurred on by these new reality shows, Duck Dynasty and Here Comes Honey Boo Boo.
Yeah.
You know, and we've got teens now dressing up, in heavy denim and these big plaid shirts and sort of pulling out their redneck.
Yeah.
Fashion-wise.
Yeah, it's a really interesting trend. I have reviewed both of those shows, actually, and it's interesting how popular they have become. And I think that a lot of people are attracted to them because they present a different side of the culture, but they're just so attracted to the honesty of these families. You know,
it's just, it is what it is.
Yeah, and I wonder whether teens are sort of attracted to it for the same reason. You know, the fashion, they are comfortable being themselves, and so ironically they dress up as other people to do that.
Yeah. Well, those are just two of the stories featured in Plugged In's Popular Culture Clips report, which we compile for you every Monday. It's basically the highlights of all the research our team does throughout the week. And here's the really cool part. It's absolutely free, and you can have it sent to your inbox automatically by subscribing to the Plugged In e-newsletter. That's free too, and signing up is easy. Just visit our homepage at PluggedIn.com.
60 years ago, Earth was attacked. We won the war, but they destroyed half the planet. Everyone's been evacuated. Nothing human remains.
In Oblivion, the new sci-fi action film starring Tom Cruise, an alien invasion has left Earth in ruins. But just when we think we've got a handle on things, it starts getting trippy in a Philip K. Dick meets the Twilight Zone sort of way. Paul, Dave has his finger on the buzzer, so be careful. But what can you tell us?
Yeah, well, not much with that finger on the buzzer. I guess we can say that Tom Cruise still looks like he's about 30. You know, he is just ageless. And
yes,
in this
indeed.
Particular movie, he plays essentially a glorified mechanic. The Earth is sort of a dilapidated wreck. Everybody else has supposedly gone aboard this spaceship, and they're getting ready to leave for Titan. As they're leaving, they have to suck up all the water on the planet so they can get there. It's going to be part of their fuel propulsion system. And there's still a little bit of resistance going around. And so all these water suckers, essentially, are protected by these mechanical drones. And it's Tom Cruise's job to keep those drones in good working order, making sure that they shoot the things that need to be shot.
Yeah, they're high-powered mechanical drones.
That's exactly right. They are fearsome.
Yeah.
Very fearsome. And so his sidekick, Victoria, typically just stays in the apartment and communicates with headquarters.
That's right. She is his eye in the sky, and
exactly.
And headquarters is like mission control.
Yeah. Looks like a very nice New York apartment.
Yeah, talk about the dreams, because he is having visions of something that he doesn't know if they're dreams or memories or what's going on.
Yeah, and that's one of the weird things. Victoria is all ready to go to Titan. She sees that the Earth is kind of destroyed. She's ready to move on. Tom Cruise, whose name is Jack in the movie, is not so ready, and he feels an attraction to the planet. And he also is having something that he shouldn't be having, which is those dreams that you mentioned. Before this mission, they had actually, both Victoria and Jack had their memories wiped, supposedly. So they shouldn't have really any memories of their lives at all.
Mm-hmm.
And yet Jack keeps dreaming of this woman. A lot of times they're on top of the Empire State Building looking over a city that's not destroyed, and he cannot, for the life of him, figure out where these dreams come from.
And at one point, a life pod comes down, and that woman is in the life pod. And I think that's about all we can say about
that. That's about
that.
It. That's about it.
It says that in the trailers.
Yeah. All right. Before we talk about the PG-13 content, what did you like about Oblivion, both in terms of the themes and the film's overall entertainment value? And Bob, feel free to chime in, because
sure.
I know you've seen it
sure.
too.
Yeah. You know, I liked this movie. It reminded me, actually, of an old science fiction movie that I might have seen when I was in my teens or early 20s. It's fun. It has some nice twists.
Well, see,
keeps you guessing.
That's an interesting part, I thought, for me. There are some plot holes here,
mm-hmm.
but
it's
written well enough that it keeps sort of peeling back the onion and revealing new things, and you go, oh, well, that's what that meant, you know? And that's what I thought was very compelling about the story.
Yeah, and there's a lot of action, there's a lot of suspense, and Tom Cruise, I mean, for me, he's a pretty likable actor. So in terms of the actual quality of the movie, I think I liked it a lot more than some of my other fellow reviewers.
Well, I appreciated the post-apocalyptic vision of this film, which is a little bit different from what we've seen before. And like you, Bob, I'm a sucker for the twists and turns and those big reveals that have you really replaying the film over in your head just to see if it all makes sense. And there are mm-hmm. times when it doesn't, but you can kind of forgive it. At that level, it worked pretty well for me. But there are some moments, Paul, we're better off not replaying in our minds. Fair to say?
Yeah, I think that's very fair to say. It was a... The violence here is what you would expect in a PG-13 science fiction thriller. I mean, it's not very bloody, but you do have some fatalities. There's a lot of man-on-drone type of violence here and there.
Actually, it's drone-on-man.
Yeah, that's true. So you do have some of those violent elements, but you expect that in a PG-13 actioner. What I didn't really expect was some of the sensuality. You have some very... tantalizing moments between Jack and Victoria. You see Victoria without her shirt on. You don't see the front of her, but there's definitely some titillating factors.
Yeah, she's seducing
here. Moments that really didn't need to be in there.
Right. Them swimming naked in a swimming pool, type of thing. Not that you would expect those in a movie like this. You also have some profanity. You have some harsh profanity. There was even one use of the F word.
It's that sort of climactic moment
where
why can't we come up with another word for emphasis? Does it always have to be that one?
Yeah. Exactly. And in the context of this movie, it's impossible not to miss it, you know?
Yeah.
And that was sort of a shame. So you have some very unfortunate elements that sort of filter into this movie that we could have really done without.
Science fiction often touches on transcendent issues. How did you interpret the film's spirituality or worldview?
Oh, man. It's a tricky one to answer without giving a lot of spoilers, to be honest with you. But I think that one of the things that this film grappled with was the idea of a soul, the idea of a spirit, and what we're on Earth to do. Jack, I think we can say, has sort of a crisis of that, you know, understanding who he is and what he's supposed to be about. And I thought that was pretty interesting.
And in a way, what he wants to be about.
Exactly, exactly.
The choices he wants to make with his life.
Yeah, and I think that eventually he came to, I think, almost a God-honoring point of view where he says, you know, I want to do the right thing. I can make my own choices and make the right ones. And I think that that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I don't disagree with any of that. I think I saw it a little bit differently in the idea. And how do I say this without getting buzzed? there seems to be this malevolent supreme being that kind of strip mines humanity mm-hmm. for its own purposes. And I wouldn't exactly call it God, but it perceives itself as a creator of sorts. Mm-hmm. And I'll leave it at that. But, you know, the truth is, we serve a loving, omniscient, omnipotent God who is really not represented here at all.
Right, no, right. And I think that you're absolutely right about that. And I think that is not necessarily a detriment to the film treat it as a false God. We deal with false gods all the time in this culture, and it's important to recognize them for what they are.
Yeah, here the only hope for people to be truly free is to eliminate this oppressor.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, guys, thank you. Next up, if you have a young gamer in your home, one new title is sure to be on their radar.
There's already a fight to win. Only question is, which side are you on?
Excuse me, where am I?
Heaven, friend. Or as close as we'll see till Judgment Day.
The latest in the popular BioShock video game series is getting rave reviews for its unique narrative and creative vision. It also has strong racial and religious overtones and an M rating. Bob, why don't we start by describing the setting for BioShock Infinite, which is different this time around.
It is. The last two games took place in an underwater, well, deep sea city, sort of a retro dystopian city called Rapture. We're not there anymore. This time, actually, it sort of jumps back about, 50, 60 years to the very turn of the century in the 1900s. And we are jetting up to a cloud floating city called Columbia. Hmm. And it's sort of, as I said, sort of a turn of the century place filled with guys in straw hats and barbershop quartets and sunny picnics, that kind of place. I should start out, though, by also saying, you were talking about, why are critics calling this such a phenomenal game and one of the best ever made? And I think it's the whole series has had this reputation of being the kind of game that's a model for what the medium can achieve. It's got really high production values. It's got incredible graphics. And generally, they always have, and especially this one especially, has this twisting, intricate story. As you were saying, it's dealing with all these social issues. It's dealing with religious issues. And it also deals with metaphysics. You know, by the time you get to the end of the game, there's multiple dimensions and all these twisting and turning timelines. And it really is one of those games that makes you think. And I think that's one of the things that people are really pointing to.
Who do gamers play as, and what's the mission?
Sure. We start out playing, well, all the way through we play as Booker DeWitt. But I say we start out because we don't really know who he is. We learn pretty quickly off that he's an ex-Pinkerton detective, and he's been assigned to go up to this sky-high city and find a girl by the name of Elizabeth, who's being held captive there. And it's a simple assignment: find the girl, take her to New York City, and it's repeated over and over, find the girl, and the debt will be paid. Of course, we don't know what the debt is, we don't know any of the details, and that's what you find as the story slowly unfolds up in this sky-high city.
As players are being introduced to Columbia, they hear old-time songs of faith and see signs about sin and redemption and a miracle child. At one point, they even wander into a temple.
Is it someone new? Someone from the Sodom below? Newly come to Columbia to be washed clean before our prophet, our founders, and our lord?
I just need passage into the city.
Passage to the city? Brother, the only way to Columbia is through rebirth in the sweet waters of baptism. Will you be cleansed, brother?
Bob, the spirituality has a somewhat Christian feel, mm-hmm. but it seems off. What's this game really preaching?
Well, it's interesting. you're right. It does have a very, in fact, when the game starts, you're wondering, is this a city full of Christians? You know, because you have to be baptized, literally baptized, in order to get into the city. But what we learn pretty quickly is that it's actually a very twisted spirituality. There's this central figure by the name of Father Comstock, who everybody, we learn, sort of worships almost like God. And he was the man who created this city and led his people up into this cloud world. But it's also a very, even though it looks really sunny and bright and pretty, there's also a real dark side to this city. Not only that idolatry worship, but also it's a city filled with sort of an extreme racism. And that comes out pretty early on too. And as these elements are revealed to us, eventually we find ourselves in the midst of a race war that's taking place in this city while we're trying to find this young woman, Elizabeth, and find out who she is. And it turns out, and this isn't a major reveal, even though there's a lot to reveal here.
Buzzer.
That's right. It turns out that she's Father Comstock's daughter, and she's being held captive in a high tower. And so, what is going on here? And that's basically throughout the whole story, we keep asking ourselves, what's going on?
Yeah, and there's talk of a dark prophet and a deceiver, and that turns out to be you.
Yeah, we're the dark prophet.
Yeah. Yeah. And yet behind the pristine veneer of this idealized Americana and the spiritual harmony lies a very violent video game.
Yeah, for all of the story's twists and turns and very compelling elements, it's primarily a shooter. The BioShock games, they are shooters, and they're pretty bloody shooters too. These are dark, dismembering, burning, crisping, all kinds.
They can lend themselves to horror even almost.
Yeah, yeah. Now, this one didn't as much, but there were some moments that were pretty dark and pretty, you know, they were talking about Indian wars and just massacring people, you know, and the whole thing ends up being really dark, really bloody, and plays out that way.
I should have asked you this earlier, but which platforms support BioShock Infinite?
Well, there's PS3, Xbox 360, and PC. It was originally just a Xbox game, but it's now been expanded to all the consoles. I should also throw in, there's also a little bit of language in there that people should be aware of. This isn't necessarily pristine when it comes to the dialogue either.
Okay, so despite all the accolades, families are better off without this one for a variety of reasons.
Sure.
Thanks, Bob.
Stand by. Mail loading.
A few weeks ago, we chatted with author and youth expert Andy Brainer about adolescents today being uber-connected. And yet, despite social networking and all that technology bringing people together, loneliness is a huge problem for this generation. Well, Courtney Jacob of Mount Clair, West Virginia, wrote in with her thoughts on the subject. Paul, would you mind reading Courtney's email for us?
You betcha. I'd love to. I've been listening to your podcast for the last few years and haven't missed an episode. I really enjoyed your interview with Andy Brainer because the topic he addressed affects my own life, but in a slightly different way. You see, I don't use social media, which also makes a person feel a sense of loneliness. I'm a college student, and when I'm waiting for a class, sitting in the lunch hall, or even working on a group project, I'm surrounded by a sea of laptops and cell phones where nobody even looks up for a second to notice you. And for somebody like me, who already struggles with shyness, it's really hard to make friends when everybody already seems to have all the companionship they need right at their fingertips. So in trying to avoid the superficiality of relationships and other negative impacts of social media, some of us just end up feeling the same loneliness and peer pressure as our connected peers. I just wanted to provide a different perspective that nobody seems to recognize or talk about much.
First of all, let me throw in, I think she's absolutely correct. I think there are a number of people out there that want to keep their distance from some of the ills of social media, but they find other sets of ills, you know, other problems in terms of connecting with the rest of the world. It's a difficult thing as our culture continues to change. I think we're going to continue to have to adjust to those types of
problems. It's a really tricky issue, I find. I mean, I struggle with social media all the time in that sometimes I feel guilty for not keeping up with it as much. And it's just such a part of so many people's lives. And yet there's sort of an artificiality about it as well that you have to sort of guard against.
Yeah. And as Courtney mentioned, there's that loneliness of being sucked in and then the loneliness of feeling left out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, Courtney, thanks for being so honest. I'm sure plenty of other people listening feel feel the same way and maybe feel a little less alone for having heard you share that. For helping us out today, we're going to send you a small token of our appreciation. It's the DVD Blu-ray combo edition of the heartwarming Disney feature, The Odd Life of Timothy Green. It's rated PG. And Courtney, we hope you enjoy that. Friends, if you have a question or comment you'd like us to address here on the podcast, simply go to PluggedIn.com, click Contact Us, and let us know what's on your mind. Be sure to put podcast in the subject line and include your full name and mailing address in your email, just as Courtney did. That'll allow us to send you a little something as a thank you. Guys, I'm always encouraged when listeners tell us they enjoy the guests that we have on. Mm-hmm. Over the years, we've featured a rich variety of perspectives on media and culture, parenting, even what it's like being a Christian working in the entertainment industry.
Yeah, I think we've been really blessed to talk with some really interesting people, including Kermit the Frog and...
That's right. It just so happens that next week is our 200th podcast, and we're going to celebrate by sharing highlights from a number of those interviews, everyone from Owl City to Kevin James to Kermit the Frog. So we hope that you'll join us. Until then, that is going to do it for this edition of the official Plugged In podcast. Thanks to Bob Hoos and Paul Acey for their insights. Thanks to our engineer, Dave Salkelt, for manning the spoiler buzzer. And also to our sponsor, the city of Gatlinburg, Tennessee, which I might add has the only Bubba Gump Shrimp Company in the state. Great restaurant, even if you haven't seen the movie.
And that's all you have to say about that.
Indeed. Finally, something new from the world of Christian music. It's from the self-titled debut by the band Bridge City, a portion of the song Show Us Your Glory. Have a great week, and remember, it's not just entertainment.
The official Plugged In podcast is a production of PluggedIn.com and Focus on the Family.